You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini, educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Dave Payerchin. Dave, how you doing?
Ken, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Man, I appreciate you being on the show.
Hey, man, I'm happy to have the opportunity to catch up with you, but I know we always share good stuff, man. You and I can get on a roll real quick.
No, absolutely. So Dave is actually the partner of RJ Pepino, who we interviewed a couple months back. He's also in the Collective Genius with me and a bunch of other guys that have been on the show. And they have a really, really cool operation out of Columbus, Ohio. Actually, very similar to kind of what we do down here at Georgia Residential with the turnkey and that business sort of transitioning into wholesale and some retail flips. And Ohio actually has some pretty unique attributes to it that we'll get into in a little bit. But I know folks want to know, how did you get into real estate? And you specifically have a pretty interesting story that I think people are going to dig. But take us back. Before you in real estate, what were you doing?
Very, very good. Thank you, Ken. Before the story, let me just pay adage and pay respects. I am in Columbus, Ohio, so just have to give a shout out to the Ohio State University Buckeyes, NCAA football champions. It wouldn't be proper without giving a shout out to the Ohio State. No.
I don't know, man. They're just squeaking them out this year. We'll see.
I know. I don't want to get my foot in my mouth here. We're still undefeated, so... with that being said, everybody, super happy to be here. Ken is somebody I really look up to and value as somebody in my network, and he's a guy with super high integrity, and that's why I'm here today. It's a pleasure to be on here. But my story, in a nutshell, is I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, originally born and raised. And I was always one of those kids who was just your typical C student. Never really excelled in academics by any means, never really excelled at sports either. I was always trying to find my way. And I turned 18 and finished high school. Everybody else was going off to college, Ken. Mm-hmm. I had nothing to do, so I had the opportunity to move to Arizona. So I packed up, moved out to Arizona with my friend's uncle to work construction.
Oh, man.
And I'm working construction during the day, installing windows, and you know, I was pretty good. I'm a hard worker, but I wanted to make more money, and I had a chip on my shoulder because I regretted, you know, well, basically I saw everybody else going to college and doing these things. I'm working my butt off in the sun in Arizona. I'm in a new place. I want to be successful. So I got a part-time job at the old telecommunications company, MCI WorldCom. Do you remember MCI?
Oh, yeah. WorldCom, man. They're the ones that went kerplunk, right?
Bernie Ebers in 2002, you know, it was the biggest, at the time, it was the biggest accounting fraud in U.S. history.
Oh, gosh.
But I was working there. I'm doing construction during the day. I'm working at MCI in the evenings before all that accounting fraud happened. And what I did, Ken, is that I was a telemarketer. You know, I had no idea what telemarketing was or sales or anything like that. So I went through this training just because I knew they were offering $12 an hour plus commission. I walked out of this training. I became the number one representative out of training, and I became in the top 10% in the entire region on the phones of selling long distance.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I was all about it, and I felt this was my opportunity to just show everyone back in Ohio that I can be successful. And I didn't have a lot of friends out there because obviously I'm from Ohio. I'm living in Arizona. So I gravitated towards bookstores, and I started going to bookstores and reading books about sales. The very first sales book I ever read, I don't want to mess up the title, but it's by Joe Girard. It's like How to Be the Best Salesman Ever or something by Joe Girard. And I started reading these sales books and just kicking butt at the sales thing. And then in any bookstore across America, right next to entrepreneurship books and sales books, you're going to find real estate books. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing those books that say, you know, how to make $1 million before the age of 30. And that's all I needed to hear. I was in it for the money. I'm not going to kid you. So I'm doing telemarketing, and then I start attending local RIA meetings, and now the year is 2005. It's been 5 years now since I'm living in Arizona, And if anyone knows anything about the markets and real estate, you know, I'm sure they know what the real estate market was like in Arizona in 2005. Do you remember what it was like, Ken?
Well, run up, man. It was a major run up.
Major run up. Yes. Yeah, smoking hot. Everybody at the RIA meeting is making money. All you need is a pulse and a pen to sign documents to sell a house. And I begin driving around and driving for dollars and driving the rough neighborhoods in South Phoenix and finding the boarded up homes and tracking down the sellers, sending them letters, and then getting these properties under contract and then flipping these contracts or wholesaling these homes on average for $20,000-$30,000 a pop.
Wow.
Just because the market was ridiculously hot. These are the worst houses in the city, boarded up junkers. I'm making 20 grand to pop on.
Oh my gosh. And now, how old were you at the time? You're in your young 20s?
Here we go. Now let's get back to reality here.
Yeah.
So I'm 22 years old. My first year in the business, I made $180,000 cash.
Holy cow.
Give $180,000 to a 22-year-old with the ego, you know, the size of the room, whatever. And it's like giving somebody a ticking time bomb. I bought an Audi, a convertible. I bought a Mustang, the, you know, 100th anniversary Mustang. I bought a house, a ridiculous house with a mountain view. I'm 22 years old. What do I need a house for?
Oh, my gosh. Right?
So needless to say, I blew through all the cash, but then I also had excellent credit. So I went ahead and, you know, pulled out tons of HELOCs on homes and, you know, Washington Mutual, remember that lender?
Oh yeah.
Started pulling out all these HELOCs and using this money. And then the market shifted, the market changed, and I ended up losing a ton of houses and I filed bankruptcy in 2007.
Wow.
So,
crazy.
I made it and I lost it. I was self-made and I buying houses and kicking butt. And then I completely lost it all. And that was one of the worst times of my life because I felt like a complete failure. And, you know, I worked my tail off and worked small jobs just to pay back money. And I thought I was done with real estate. I thought I was done forever. And I just had a real bad taste in my mouth about real estate and everything else. So I packed up and I moved to California. And I'm living in California and I thought I wanted to just live on the beach and, you know, just hang out and grow a beard and surf. And got the opportunity then in California to start working for one of the biggest real estate seminar companies in the country. And I loved it and I was back and I started basically helping out with students who are looking to get into real estate by sharing my story and sharing the risks of real estate, but how to do it more successful than I had done in the past. And I worked my way up in the seminar company to become a speaker. And I was a speaker and I spoke in front of hundreds of people around the country. And that opened my eyes, Ken, because it made me realize what I'm capable of. Number one, that I am influential and I can be a positive person in people's life. But it also opened my eyes to what the seminar industry could be and really the dirty side of the seminar industry. And I saw a lot of things that I didn't like and a lot of people getting taken advantage of. A lot of people don't know that about me, but I actually, you know, got to see firsthand that a lot of these seminar companies, guys who don't have integrity, they're just out there looking, they're helping people increase their debt. They're helping people increase their, you know, whatever their credit card amounts so they could just pull out all that cash and run these people into the ground. And I saw what happened to me personally. I saw that happening to other people and I was helping people get into debt and I didn't want these people to have to go down the path I did and file bankruptcy and all this stuff. So I got out of real estate, or I'm sorry, I got out of the seminar business, especially that particular company, which I'm not here to mention any names or anything like that. But basically at the, you know, while I'm working for the seminar company, I met my business partner, RJ Pepino, and I wanted to move back to Ohio, my homeland. And we started buying up rentals. So in 2012, we started buying up, we probably had 15 or 20 rentals here together. And then I wanted to get out of the seminar company. So I left them, moved here to Columbus full time. And a lot of my contacts in places like Arizona and California began asking me, you know, hey, how do I get my hands on some of these rental properties? You guys are getting this great cash flow. Can you guys provide me with rental properties, investment properties? And that was the birth of Columbus Turnkey Houses. Mm. So now we're probably the biggest turnkey provider out of Columbus, Ohio. We also add to our buy and hold portfolio, and we have some money raised to buy and hold properties. And we also have a wholesale operation. And I would say we're about 50% turnkey and 50% wholesale right now. Mm-hmm. And we had to learn a lot of lessons around the wholesale side, which we can probably get into a little bit. But in a nutshell, that's my story.
You know what's interesting about that is early on when I started doing turnkey, one of my primary referral sources was a guy that was working for a seminar company. And like, same thing, you would know the name of the seminar company, a big reputation, but all these attendees were coming in and they're dropping literally $40,000 to go through their university, their program, just some basic training. And they'd come out the back end and they still wouldn't know what to do. They're like, well, where do I buy houses? And so he was working for the company and referring these people to me to help them buy turnkey houses. It's a similar sort of thing. It was a perfect opportunity.
You know what? We still get approached by certain groups out there who buy our houses, and we know that they turn around and resell them for a profit. I mean, it's unbelievable. So to all your listeners out there, if you're brand new in the business, just know you don't have to go through a $40,000 university. You're on the right podcast with Ken and the Deal Farm, and there's good stuff out there. Keep networking and keep seeking out the people who actually do the business, because I'm the first one to tell you, a lot of these seminar companies, the guy up there with the bright smile and the pinstripe suit, ask him how many houses he actually flips, because chances are he doesn't flip a lot of homes. And the best way to learn something is from somebody who's actually doing it. And I think you'll come to find that a lot of the most successful people in this business are actually more giving than they are taking. Yeah, and they're happy to help people out.
Yep. Well, and too, in the internet age, there's so much free information out there as it is. I mean, you get on forums and you can read blogs and listen to podcasts, and you can just about learn what you need to learn without dropping 40 grand, that's for sure. I'd much rather spend that 40 grand on a house than on some vacation.
Yeah, I mean, we just worked with a client. He used his self-directed retirement account to buy a home. He just bought a home for $50,000 cash from us. It's paying $875 a month, fully remodeled, and the property appraised for just under $80,000. Talk about growth, right?
Killer. Yeah, man, those are strong numbers.
Very strong numbers. And, you know, he's basically a case study for us. We're working with this individual. But that his funds, what if he just gave that money to a seminar company? Where would he be at? I don't think the seminar company is going to pay him $875 a month
yeah,
for the rest of his life.
They're going to try and steer him back to somebody like you that's going to sell him the same house again.
Buy houses, not courses.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you guys got into, a couple years ago, got into doing the turnkey. And how has that changed? Because I know in my market, turnkey, we were rock and rolling for years and years and years. And we still are, but our business had to morph and change. What is your business like today? How has it changed?
Well, I'll tell you what, we got into turnkey, Ken, based out of need, because we were buying our own portfolio. Mm-hmm. And now the market's extremely hot. I mean, I think you can vouch for this as well. We can't hold on to houses. I mean, we're getting hit up every single day from people who want to buy houses, and the market is hot, so the deals have changed. We still are able to turnkey. We prefer working with cash buyers. We prefer working with, you know, retirement buyers, meaning people using their self-directed retirement accounts. Mm-hmm. But now the financing is loosened up so much. We also, I'd say 50% of our deals our cash buyers, 50% are people who are using bank financing. Everybody's using leverage again right now. We have no problem selling turnkey properties because we do a great job and we're in it for the long haul and we have great relationships with all of our clients. But our business has changed just because the market is so hot. The wholesale market has just gone through the roof. I mean, if we can earn basically the same amount of revenue doing a wholesale deal as we can doing a turnkey deal, we're taking the wholesale deal all day, every day.
Yeah.
There's no question, because there's way less client fulfillment to do.
Yeah.
And then also the retail market. Ken, recently, you don't know this, we just scooped up a home. It's being worked on right now. I wish we did a visual. We can do a webinar. We're doing all new tile. It's going to be gorgeous. You know this stuff very well. We got it for $165. We're going to sell it for $245, you know.
Nice.
The retail market is hot. I mean, there's stuff in this subdivision selling in a week. And this is Columbus, Ohio. This isn't California, Nevada. This isn't Florida. So you know the market's hot when stuff is selling in a week.
Well, you know? your market really lends itself to cash flow properties. I own a handful of properties myself in Cleveland, and I imagine the markets aren't too different in terms of price points and cash flow. It just completely lends itself. But now you're, in addition to that, it seems like you're finding opportunities to do some retail as well. You got a bunch of owner occupieds looking at slightly higher end houses, and so now you guys are flipping as well. That's killer.
You know what, Ken? You just made me think of something. I'm over here smiling, and I don't want to offend anyone. I'm allowed to say this because I'm born and raised in Cleveland. I'm a diehard Browns fan. In fact, I have a Cleveland Browns on my – hear this right here? That's my calendar. It's a Cleveland Browns calendar on my desk. But I saw a guy with a shirt just this last weekend. It said, Cleveland, at least it's not Detroit.
Oh, what's funny about that statement is that was probably my perception of Cleveland before I went up to Cleveland. I went last year and spent some time with our buddy Joe Lieber, who we both know, and I was actually really pleasantly surprised at Cleveland. It was much more up and coming and turning around and not nearly the rust belt that I expected. I thought it was actually a pretty vibrant city.
It is a vibrant city. I'm born and raised there. I'm proud to be from there. My mother's still up there. I'll be there this weekend, you know, taking her to lunch. In fact, I'm going to Cleveland because my mom is donating to her sons here in Columbus, me and RJ, a van, which we're going to get this van fully wrapped with We Buy Houses and start driving it around.
It's not like a 1985 minivan, is it?
It is.
Is it?
Well, no. It's like a 95, but still.
Wood grain paneling on the side?
No, not the wood grain, but it's nothing flashy, but I'm excited about this. Anyway, awesome. Columbus is a little bit higher end than Cleveland. And I think the biggest thing is the biggest economic driver for Columbus is the university. Ohio State has over 60,000 students.
Wow.
And they're on the forefront of cancer research for the entire country and across the world. Wow. They're building hospitals here like crazy. So the university makes Columbus a huge economic driver. A lot of people come here from all over the world, and they end up staying here to work in the medical industry.
Interesting.
So,
well, and Cleveland's got the Cleveland Clinic too. I mean, same sort of thing. There's a lot of medical economic drivers there as well, it seems like.
Cleveland Clinic is in the top five hospitals in the whole world. A lot of people don't know that. The very first heart transplant happened in the Cleveland Clinic.
Really? Wow. Crazy. So you got all sorts of good stuff going on in Ohio.
There are more presidents from Ohio than any other state. And the state of Ohio is massively influential. Look at every single election. It always comes down to
Florida. It always comes down to Ohio.
And then
always the swing state.
It's the swing state because it's the major cities are sprawling, these huge urban major cities. And then outside of the cities, it's massively country, you know?
Yeah, so politically, like, it could go either way, any election, it seems like.
It could go either way, and people don't think, you know, little old Ohio, but it's one of the most populated states in the country as well. So it's pretty dense. The cities are very dense, and it's a great place to invest, you know, because we do still have good prices, and as long as the investor has the right team in place, and that's what we have here in Columbus is myself and RJ and our staff. You know, we go above and beyond to make sure it's a good experience for the client because over 70% of our business comes from referral. People don't just buy one turkey property from us here in Columbus.
Sure,
they buy 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So, it's all about having the team in place, and we're proud to be here in Ohio, and the numbers are phenomenal.
Well, you and I both know that the linchpin to turnkey is not just the house itself, not just fixing it up, not just finding the tenant, but it's the ongoing property management. How do you guys handle property management up there?
Amen, brother. Well, I'm a licensed realtor, and I keep my real estate license with a small brokerage company, but I'm actually moving it over to a local company here, ERA. Mm-hmm. ERA is a major brand.
Mm-hmm.
Real Property Solutions out of Grove City, Ohio. And our property manager, his name is Donnie Thompson, and he absolutely crushes it for us. He has over 400 properties under his management, and I just watched the Ohio State game with him on Saturday, and he just told me he's only got 3 vacancies out of 400.
Wow, holy cow. So it's just a super strong rental market. I'm sure that's a big part of it as well.
Very, we have no problem. You should see the rents that we're getting right now, Ken. It's astounding. When I'm posting ads for our own portfolio, for our own rentals, we got a really killer system for getting stuff rented, by the way. It's almost like I'm pushing the envelope now. It's like, okay, like we previously were getting, you know, $700 for this house. I'm just going to put it out there for $875 and see what happens. Sure enough, we get it rented for $875. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like what, how far can I push this? You know, I'm not kidding you. So our property management is really strong, and that has come from trial and error. We are investors ourselves. We own and manage our own portfolio. So we've been through multiple property management channels here with Columbus Turnkey Houses to finally find the fit that we have right now. And that's allowed us to excel. And that's Donnie's main business is property management. We were doing it all ourselves at one point, growing our staff through the property management, going through all the growing pains of that. That's a pain in the butt. We need to work with professionals. So we're currently, you know, basically our team member, that's all he does, Donnie, that's all he does is property management. Nice. And that's what's allowed us to really scale this thing and take care of more people.
Yeah. We've gone through that same iteration. Do we do it ourselves? We burned through a couple of property managers, then we did it ourselves for just a little bit. And then ultimately it's like, okay, who is doing this really well? Let's just plug into their system, make sure that they have the capacity and just focus on what we do well and let them focus on what they do well. And it seems to work out so much better than trying to be all things to all people.
That's you know what? I'm grateful right now. I'm so happy where we're at in the business. Things are just cruising. In fact, we recently, you know, let go of a girl who was in our office, and you know, just the energy has completely changed. We are all just super motivated. The systems are dialed in. They're getting better every single day. We're taking care of more people. Testimonials are rolling in. We're getting invited to do big time podcasts like The Deal Farm. I never thought I'd be here, Ken.
Yeah, right. You're so lucky, man.
So
that's funny. Hey, so let's talk for a second about your acquisitions, because that's something a lot of us have had to transition over the last year or so. And where you were probably, my guess is you were probably picking a lot of stuff off of MLS. Now you're probably buying direct from sellers. What does that look like for you guys right now?
Excellent question. And I'm really passionate about talking about acquisitions, and I love it. And I love talking about seller negotiation. So this is, and that's a huge part of our business. And for your listeners out there, this is the, Ron LeGrand had an old saying that I use every single day. You make your money when you buy, you get paid when you sell. So it is our job to get the very best deals out there as we possibly can as real estate investors. If you're not able to get good deals, you're not going to be in business very long. However, we're talking about people's homes here, and behind every home, there's a story. And that's why they're selling the property at a discount, is they're motivated, and typically there's something else going on in their life. So we have to respect that. And what we've found, because there is competition in any hot marketplace, there's competition. But what we've been able to do is position ourselves as the more professional company. And we tell sellers right over the phone, for our marketing methods, let me backtrack. We do a lot of probate marketing. We do a lot of bandit signs. We are getting more into, we get a lot of wholesale deals as well. All the wholesalers in town are contacting us. We have a meetup now where people are feeding us deals that way. Nice. But when a seller contacts us, immediately we position ourselves, as, okay, well, you know that we're buying as a company, right? Mr. Seller, you know we're not looking to live in your property. You know we're buying your property either to fix up and turn around and resell for a profit, or to turn around and add to our rental portfolio. And we like to be very upfront about that. And I think a lot of amateur investors out there, Ken, they're a little bit afraid to let the seller know that, yes, I am an investor and I'm in this to make money, but at the same time, I'm here to help you solve whatever need that you have. They try to hide it or something like that, but you know, what we found the most success in is being very professional and letting people know we're in this for a profit, and also letting sellers know upfront, you know, we may not be your best option. And oftentimes we say, hey, go shop it around a little bit. And more times than not, in fact, one of our acquisitions guys just put 14 properties under contract yesterday, a package of 14 homes. And this is a lead that he worked on previously, was very upfront, very respectful, very nice to the seller. And the seller said, wow, you guys don't really pay a lot, but you know, I know you can get it done. He left and he tried to work with another investor. They couldn't get it done. Sure enough, he came back and we're getting an even better deal than we would have gotten, you know, last time we worked on the lead. So we position ourselves as very professional. We don't pay the most, but we can get it done quickly. And I think that's really important to create that relationship right off the bat that you are a professional and you can get this thing done. Next thing is we always train in our office, when you're working with a seller, motivation comes before the money. You have to, as an acquisitions representative, have to get to the bottom or get to the root of why they're selling. What they're selling is not as important. Every seller is going to rattle off, I got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1600 square foot home in this part of town. Sure, take that note and make a note of it. It's not important what they're selling, it's why they're selling it, and that's what we need to get to the root of. So what we have found to build rapport, if you as the acquisitions rep cannot build rapport with a seller, it's going to be very difficult for you to get to their motivation. Therefore, it's going to be very difficult for you to solve their problem and get a good deal on the house. So here's a few tips on building rapport and getting to the root of their motivation. And I like to use the acronym FORM, F-O-R-M, FORM. So F is friends and family. When you're talking to a seller, first listen to how they talk. Oh, I got the kids in the background. Perfect, right there. Oh, you have kids? How many kids do you have? Ken, you have kids, right? How many kids do you have? I know you got little Rocco, and how many do you got? You got
total
two?
Total of three. Okay. Yep.
So if I was talking to you as the seller, you said, oh, I got my kids in the background. Oh, Ken, great. So you have, how many kids do you have? What ages are there? And even though me personally, I don't have kids, and to all your listeners out there, you don't have to lie, by the way, and you don't have to be anything that you're not. In fact, if you're trying to be something you're not, I think, you know, that actually comes across in your voice, in your tone, and people know you're going to full of it. But I can still relate to you, Ken, if you're the seller and I'm the buyer, even if I don't have kids. Oh, you have three kids. What ages? I have 7 nieces and nephews, the same age. Oh, they're going to school. Man, busy time of year. Da da da. You know, talk about school. Friends and family is number one. Oh, so F, we talked about friends and family. And also another thing is whatever part of town is that they're living in, you can also say, if you do know people, oh, I got friends in that part of town too, and kind of relate with the friends and family.
Yep.
O is occupation. You know, oh, I'm selling this because I got a new job out of state. What is your job? Oh, I work for the military. Bam. Everybody can relate on an occupation. You work for the military. What branch of the military? You have friends, you have family. Maybe you served yourself. And for all your listeners that did serve or active duty, we appreciate your service, by the way. But occupation is a great way to build rapport. Oh, I'm a dental hygienist. Talk about how you go to the dentist. Find a way to relate on what they do for a living. Oh, my husband isn't able to be on the call because he works nights. Well, here's something that's true. My dad worked nights for 30 years. He used to come home every single day after working nights, and he used to wake us up for school and take us out to breakfast. That was something, a great childhood memory I have, is my dad working nights and always cooking breakfast for us because he was getting home when we were all waking up. So form, friends and family. Oh, occupation. R is recreation. So when you're walking through a seller's home, let's say you're on an appointment and you see a bowling trophy. Oh, you're a bowler. Talk about bowling. Talk about how good you are or bad you are at bowling. You see a pool table. In fact, Ken, check this out. We're buying a home. We just put a home under contract yesterday that has a pool table, and you know we're getting that pool table.
You know? You guys aren't going to get any work done playing pool in the office.
I can't wait. You're going to see pictures. I'm wearing my Deal Farm t-shirt and shooting some pool over here. No, but recreation, what do you do for fun? And that dials right into, oh, I'm taking my kids to the pool. Cool. Yeah. Pools are great. I wish we had, you know, more time to do swimming. You know, the weather's getting cold right now. But recreation, what does the seller do for fun? What do their kids do for fun? And how can you relate to that? You know, look for any indication. Let's say they have a Cleveland Browns flag. Perfect. You know I'm going to relate. Let's say they have the opposite. They have a Pittsburgh Steelers flag. Well, now we can relate on that too. Oh, I joke around all the time and just take it away. Take little jabs. I'm always jabbing at sellers. Let's say they got a, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers flag. I say, oh, well, you know I'm coming in real low with my offer now. You're a Steelers fan. You know I'm coming in low now. And they laugh. But right. The fact is, they you need to make the seller okay with selling their property at a massive discount to you. Let them know right up front that you're coming in low, and then make it okay. It's like poker. You need to make the opponents okay losing to you, if that makes sense. But it's not a win and a loss. It's not a combat. It's not combative. What it is fulfilling their need. So you got F, friends and family, O, occupation, R, recreation, and then you're going to get to M, which is the motivation, and M is where the money's at. So after you've built all this rapport with friends and family, occupation, and what they do for fun with recreation, now you can talk about, well, why are you selling? What is the core purpose? Oh, you want to sell this because you already bought a new home. You're making two house payments. There's motivation there. Oh, the house is vacant. You don't want to get it vandalized. Now you're starting to get to the root of the motivation. You can really get into the nitty gritty. And that's where you, the investor, are able to come in and save the day like a fireman and help this person, all while getting a great deal for yourself.
Dude, that is killer. Form. I've never heard that acronym before, but it's really an acronym for just gaining rapport. How do you get in and become that person's friend where they feel okay selling the house? You've gained enough trust, enough rapport that at the end of the day, bam, they're signing a contract with you. I love it, man. I think that's killer.
And here's another thing real quick, Ken, for your listeners, positioning. When you talk to a seller over the phone, it's really good to be like, oh, okay, are you, you know, find out all the decision makers, and for your own time, you know, if you're talking to a wife and she's telling you all about the house, get some information about the house and say, you know, well, we are serious buyers. Is this one of those decisions that you're probably, you know, you're going to want to get your husband involved in? She's going to say yes. Okay, maybe we should do this call with your husband on the line. I want us all on the same page. And I'd like to set an appointment because I know your time is valuable and so is mine. Set an appointment to speak with both decision makers and make it a little bit more formal than just off the cuff. You're driving down the road talking to a seller. Those conversations are going to happen too. But if you set a formal appointment where you're talking to both decision makers on the phone, you're separated from everybody else in town. Everybody else is just winging it. You're a professional from day one, from the first conversation. Take it away from the seller. Oh, okay, I'm interested in your home, but I'd rather have your husband on the call as well because I know he's going to want to make this decision too. So number one, position it to where all decision makers are on the line. And then once you feel out the motivation, you got some rapport, you think there might be a deal here, always set the appointment. You're going to buy more houses face to face than you're ever going to buy over the phone. We just got a deal recently. It's being rehabbed right now. The seller inherited the home, didn't have a lot of information on this home. And when the seller called into our office, he said, oh, it's a two bedroom, one bath in this part of town. We weren't really that interested in a two bedroom, one bath in that part of town. But then we found out all this motivation, and while building rapport over the phone, we heard the seller mention that they're willing to bring money to the table to get this thing closed.
Wow.
So that's motivation. We set the appointment immediately, already had a ton of rapport built, go out on the appointment. It's a three bedroom, it turns out. Oh, I didn't even know it was a three bedroom. Jeez. So we ended up getting this house for $17,000. And there's no competition at that point because everybody else is trying to buy houses over the phone. They're not working with all the decision makers. A lot of back and forth is going on. So to your listeners, make sure you're on the phone with all the decision makers. Once you have the rapport over the phone, say, well, we definitely want to come take a look at this. And this is a great statement right here. Always say this. Now, if this is something we want to move on, you know, we like to move quickly, and I know you're looking to move quickly. So when I come on this appointment at Tuesday at 7 o'clock, I want to make sure both of you are there. But also, if we can come to terms and make this a win for you and a win for me at the same time, are you ready to sign a contract when I'm there on Tuesday at 7? So we don't have to keep going back and forth. Are you ready to go?
Yeah,
and if they say no, then say, well, what else do we need? Don't go on the appointment. I mean, you got to kind of let them know you're coming to do business. You're not just coming to walk around and make a new friend. You know, you're going to make a new friend at the end of the day, but let them know you're bringing a contract. Let them know you're ready to do business, because you don't want to walk out of there you know, with no contract and they say, oh, I want to think about this, I want to pray about this, that's fine, you can do that, but do all that before I come out there and meet you face to face respectfully.
Do your thinking before I bring my contract.
Yeah.
That's good.
If you don't even know if you want to sell or not, you know, I would definitely, you know, come to terms on that. And because when we come out there, we're ready to do business. And here's a list of all the testimonials and references we have all over town. These are people that we've helped all over the Columbus area. So if you want to be one of these people, which we want you to be one of these people, we want you ready to roll.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's really good, man. I appreciate you sharing that. Is there a deal? You've done a number of deals over the last how many years? Is there one deal in your mind that stands out as your best deal ever?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I was thinking about it this morning on my way into the office. Best deal ever is the deal that I would like to use is one that we have in our portfolio right now, and it's a very unique deal. So this is in a part of town here in Columbus. Anyone familiar with Columbus, this is known as the Hilltop. And the Hilltop doesn't have always the best reputation, but we love the Hilltop. We have probably 15 homes, rental homes in this area. Mm-hmm. And this was a property that the seller purchased in the heyday of the market, and he paid too much for the property. He paid, I think, $56,000. We pay, you know, we buy these houses, Ken, less than 20 grand in these neighborhoods all day. And he paid over 50 for the property. And I think he paid less than that, but then he pulled out more money to you know, remodel the home. And he did a phenomenal remodel, all tile, everything, skylights. This is like one of the nicest rentals we own. I mean, I can't believe how much work this guy put into this house. So he owed 56 on the house, and he was a business person, and he fell behind on his loan, and he sued the lender. This is when everybody was doing forbearance agreements and suing their lenders and stuff like that. You remember all this, right?
Yep.
He sued the lender for them making a bad loan, and he won.
Wow.
So then he wanted to move to Florida. So his payments, the lender did a forbearance agreement where they're willing to accept, I think it's like $150 a month, every single month. On, you know, for the next 3 years. And then after 3 years, they're willing to take a balloon payment of $14,000.
No way. Wow.
So check this out. The seller wants nothing to do with the home, and he just wants to move on to Florida. So he allowed us to come in. This house is fully remodeled. It's beautiful. We put about $1,000 into it just to really clean it up and put an alarm system on there and do some different things like that. But so the seller, we make the seller's payment every single month of $150 up until that deadline, I think in 2017, when we're going to buy this house in cash for 14 grand. We pay $150 a month, and we're going to buy this house in a couple of years for 14 grand. We have this house rented for $875 a month.
Oh, gosh.
So it produces a great cash flow every single month. We got in with no money down, very little money down, with a little rehab money that we put in. We're making money every single month, and then we're going to come in and purchase this thing for 14 grand all day long. It's worth, you know, 40 right now. He paid 56 for it or whatever he did. So, we're going to own this one free and clear here in a couple of years. But I really like that deal because it shows a bad situation that turned into a good situation. And it's one of the only times that I've actually heard about somebody winning when they sue the lender.
Yeah, it's funny. You do hear about people who kind of got screwed with their loans and the paperwork wasn't done right, or there was robo signing. But I haven't heard many stories of suing and winning, especially winning this big, $150 a month, and then a purchase of 14 grand. That's crazy.
And then so here's the thing: we didn't do a subject to deal because we didn't want to transfer the deed because we thought that could throw up a red flag to the lender.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's a deed restriction where you're not allowed to transfer the deed up until this date when you can buy it for 14.
Okay. Yep.
So what we did is just a lease with the right to sublease. I was sitting in a Starbucks in Cleveland. And we just worked together on the phone. He was a business person and we're a business as well. And it was just great. We just sat there and talked it out. Like two good business people, you know,
awesome.
Let's talk about it. It's like, I'll do this, you do that. I know you want to be protected from this. So you know what we did to make him feel more secure is we got an auto debit every single month. We wired up our bank account to this lender. So his payment gets made every single month on an auto draft from our business account.
Nice.
Yeah, so he doesn't even get the payments from us. And then we collect the rent, and then it's easy breezy. That's
well, it's sort of like a lease purchase, and a lot of investors use that as a strategy, not just to sell properties, but to acquire and control them. You just basically do a lease purchase to some, rather than like an owner finance or sub two, you just lease purchase it from them with the right to sublease, which is probably essentially what you guys did.
It is. It's like a sandwich lease option, and
killer.
So yeah, that's a nice little buy and hold for us.
No, that's perfect. That's a great example. Man, this has been really, really good, Dave. I appreciate you sharing, especially all the stuff about, you know, figuring out motivation, the seller negotiation part. I think that's so pertinent to people that are doing direct to seller advertising. It's even, I mean, some really good nuggets even for us. I mean, we're even in our business, you know, we're trying to get all our contracts over the phone, and I feel like we're missing out on some deals. And that's going to be one of our pushes here in the next couple of weeks, is to figure out how to get in front of more people and build that rapport and close the deal, rather than wait for them to email a contract back to us. So good stuff for me as well, man. I appreciate you being on the show.
Hey man, it's a pleasure. I was looking forward to not only being on the show, but just catching up with you. What a lot of the listeners don't know is you and I got to catch up for 10, 15 minutes before the call, and you're doing some fantastic things, and just your business and what we do, there's so much alignment. And that goes to say too, for your listeners, you know, join a mastermind or be around other people who are in the business, because you shared some nuggets with me that when offline, we're going to be talking more about financing and rentals. And I mean, we're all in this business. And for your listeners out there, keep listening to guys like Ken, you know, and surround yourself around people who are doing the business and add as much value as you possibly can. And just wait for the world to change right there before your eyes.
100% agree, man. This is really good. Dave, I appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
All right. Take care. Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini reminding you that the name of this podcast is Deal Farm for a reason, because I want to help you do more real estate deals. If you're looking to buy a deal in a certain market, let me know about it. I've got contacts all around the country. If you're just looking for hard money or private lending, I do a lot of private lending and would be more than happy to work with you. If you're looking to partner on a deal, maybe it's your first deal or second deal and you need a little help, I partner with people all the time. Whatever it is you're looking for to fill in the gap to get started in real estate investing, I can probably help. And if I can't, I'll point you in the right direction. Again, I'm here to help you become successful in real estate. Go to our website, dealfarm.net, onto the Contact Us page. That'll go directly to my inbox. I will reach back out to you, set up a time to talk, and I'll do whatever I can to make you a success. Thanks again for listening to The Deal Farm. We will see you on the next episode. Take care.